Look at us. It's weird.
Yeah, looking at each other. We haven't sat like this since we were in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah, you never look at me during. No. Not anymore. Not ever since the accident.
The accident.
Hold on. I wish to pull it up on my email. Also, y'all might be hearing a little bit of in the background. That's not me. Frodo's joining us. Frodo's a good boy. Frodo's the podcast dog.
He is. He was in on every episode.
At the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Frodo's the podcast dog. And Meatloaf is the podcast cat. Podcat, if you will. All those should be clean.
I just have a weird thing of smelling stuff before I drink.
That's fine. I'm 100% the same way. I like to take a sniff before I put my mouth on it. It's never led me astray. It's never led me wrong.
Yeah.
Is this our first episode since we came back from Seattle? No.
Yeah. No.
No, we've done one prior. So that's right. Okay. You want to give me a quick sound bite? I got the gulp.
Obsession, 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 obsession.
Okay. Oh, alrighty. You should have more than enough room with the mic being off the side now to, like, reach your laptop. Because before, you have to, like, reach across.
Yeah, your bar. I can fit my hands right underneath it.
So yeah, it was inconvenient.
I'm going to run a dungeon or two real quick.
You start playing. I wouldn't even be upset about it. I'm flanking. I'm coming. I'm on him. He's broken. He's on my ass. He's in me. I'm finished.
I'm dead. You fucking assholes.
Be like, are you playing WoW? Oh, no. Cam girl. What? Excuse me?
I am the cam girl right now.
Oh, alrighty, folks. Well, welcome back to another episode.
Wow. Yeah, I had that sickness running through my family. Sam was sick forever.
Yeah, you had the bubonic plague pretty much running through you guys.
Yeah, it was a rough one.
It was rough, but we got through it. It started with Sam, and he spread it to everybody. But we're here. And we're back trying to finish Love in February.
Yeah.
We were supposed to film or record while we were in Seattle. We were doing so much stuff and we're having too much fun. And honestly,
yeah,
we just
kind of slacked.
We did, but it was, we needed it. Yeah. We needed the vacation. So now we're back. We're going to be doing O for Obsession. And I know this guy does look familiar and I don't,
I can't put my finger on it
or in him, but
yeah.
Obsession, folks. Some
sorry, that was a hiccup.
Upset. Yeah, I just put a finger in his ass. Oh shit! I'm Jonathan,
and I'm Kelly.
We are
the Spooky Guys.
The Spooky Guys.
That's funny.
I completely forgot it.
Oh, the sniffing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never led me astray. Ever.
Oh.
There is a girl in high school, and I was like, and then I had to come up with an excuse to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's somebody in my life that was dubbed at the time because I was a high schooler, you know, fresh out, a silly little boy, was dubbed Swamp Thing, not affectionately.
You?
We dubbed them, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's an affectionate way to dub someone Swamp Thing?
There must be for some, like, folks that live out in the, you know, bayou.
Yeah.
That right there, that's my Swamp Thing.
That right there.
That right there is my Swamp Thing. Love her. Call her Swamp Thing because once I put it in, I was stuck for life. I just couldn't get out.
And it's good because she's my cousin. We know each other since birth. Our mommy and daddy are brother and sister.
Yeah.
So we're cousins.
And we're twins. We're cousin twin brothers, sisters. What is happening? Obsession.
Just swamp people.
Fucking swamp people. Feral swamp people. Some love stories end quietly. They dissolve with time, with distance, with the slow erosion of everyday life. Two people stop speaking the same emotional language. A house grows colder. One of them leaves. There are lawyers, paperwork, late night tears, and eventually a new routine emerges. But there is another kind of ending. A happy ending.
No, kidding. We don't ever get happy endings here.
We don't get it. Fucking... I can't wait till I get my first set of flowers at my funeral. That'll be fucking
Could great. You imagine one story we're going to get from the Crypt Keeper? It's going to be a happy ending.
I hope so. which kind of happy ending?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Anyway. All right.
Depends on the outlook. Most of these are happy endings.
Perspective is important. Perspective is important. The kind that refuses to accept separation as an outcome. The kind that treats a partner not as a person, but as property. The kind that frames love as a claim rather than a choice. And this is a story all about... this is a story about that kind of love. The kind that tightens into control. The kind that cannot survive rejection. The kind that, in its final form, becomes a threat. Phil Hartman, father of... oh, no, never mind. I was going to make a joke for... oh, my God.
I still don't know this guy, so...
No, but it was Bret the Hitman Hart, but different names.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Phil Hartman was known for making people laugh. To audiences, he was the reliable funny man, sharp, versatile.
Oh, is he an actor?
Effortless as in performances. Is he? I can't...
I don't know. He looks really
He has
familiar,
to be. But... The picture has the ABC logo on the corner. Homie's got to be an actor. Yeah, figure out where he's from. He built a career on his precision and timing through sketch comedy, voice work, and television. Hey, he was an actor, by the way.
Yeah. Canadian-American comedian and actor.
Interesting. Okay.
He was in Jingle All the Way, News Radio, Small Soldiers, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, House Guests, Pee-wee's Playhouse, Sergeant Bilko.
He was on Pee-wee's
a lot. Pee-wee Herman Show.
Okay.
Coneheads.
Underrated.
He's been on The Simpsons since 1989.
Huh.
So, who's he
doing the Simpsons.
Troy McClure. Who's Troy McClure?
Is that the Scottish guy? Hi, Frodo. Oh, kind of looks like him, too, actually.
Okay, yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a washed up B movie actor from The Simpsons. That's who he plays in The Simpsons.
So he plays himself. Got it.
Oh shit.
He was admired not only for his talent, but for his professionalism. Colleagues described him as kind, prepared, and dependable, the person you wanted in a cast because he elevated everyone around him. On the surface, Phil Hartman's life looked like success made stable. But inside his home, stability had begun to curdle into something else. The cheese of divorce.
The cheese of divorce.
Not
I've heard of a lot of different types of cheeses, okay?
Divorce cheese is a different one.
Cheddar cheese, string cheese, even dick cheese. But I've never heard of divorce cheese.
Yeah, divorce cheese is what happens... when you haven't slept with your wife in a while, but somebody else has, and so the leftovers just curdle.
Yeah. That's nasty. No doubt.
It is disgusting. Oh, that's my spot. Oh, but inside his home, stability had begun to curdle into something else. Of course, I had to reread that line. Not comfort, but containment. Not calm, but tension held so tightly it could snap. Like a... high school kid being bullied. Phil Hartman married Bryn Umdahl in 1987. I apologize. Bryn was born in Minnesota and had worked as a model and actress. She was socially magnetic, charming, and intense.
I don't like the name Brim. I don't know about that.
Change it.
Just kidding.
Well, depending on how the story ends, yeah, she might not be able to. I don't know. She was intense in a way that drew people in quickly. Together, they built a family and had two children, a son and a daughter. From the outside, they appear to be a Hollywood couple doing their best to keep real life private. Behind that image, however, were problems that did not remain contained.
Uh-oh.
Dun, dun, dun. Struggling with a crippling substance abuse problem, Brynn and their relationship followed a cycle familiar to many. Hope, effort, relapse, apology, promises of change, and then the same storm returning again. Fun fact, the first part of that sentence was me going to make a joke about substance abuse, but then I saw that it was actually substance abuse, so I had to try to figure out how to make the sentence work again.
Yeah, I was reading that, and I'm like, no, you're like, bring it back.
In relationships like this, danger does not always announce itself in one dramatic moment. It seeps in slowly, normalizing instability until chaos begins to feel familiar. Yeah. Seep is such a good word. Mm. What is it, boy? Yeah, they've been doing construction around the apartment all day, and I don't know why. Love becomes measured not by kindness, but by endurance. Oh boy, what?
Good luck reading the next sentence. I don't know what that word is.
Huh. Phil's Utilange? Google that. There's, yeah. I know for a fact. Crip Creeper, I say this with the utmost respect. I know for a fact you didn't know this fucking word off the top of your head. There's no way.
I don't know. Fills something long, pressure-filled hours.
Are you Googling it? I'm Googling
it. It's nothing. There's no word. It says, did you mean outline? That's the only thing it says, but outline. Fills outline long, pressure-filled hours? I don't know.
I don't think it's a real word.
No, it's not a word. I just told you that.
She fucked up. She's fired.
She's fired. How dare she make us read something like that?
How dare you make me read this with my own eyes? Phil's long, pressure-filled hours, Brynn's addiction and volatility added another layer of strain, a private stress that did not end when the camera stopped rolling. Friends and colleagues would later describe a marriage marked by arguments and growing fear that something was escalating beneath the surface. Okay. So far, this sounds like a standard Hollywood marriage.
Yeah.
Drug addiction, abuse.
Lay down.
Kids. Okay.
We're just missing, you know, some really juicy drama.
I know. I'm waiting for it. I wonder who. Okay. Let's do our call outs out.
Okay.
I think this is going to lead with her, I want to say probably cheating, and him becoming obsessed, like her trying to get a divorce, and him becoming obsessed with that whole thing, and
I think it's the other. I think she's obsessed with him.
You think it's her with him?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe, I don't know.
It's a 50-50 shot.
The beginning made it sound like it was more focused on him.
But now we're kind of shifting gears. Okay. And yet many families living inside volatility, there were also stretches of normalcy. School mornings, birthdays, dinners, bedtime routines, daily life continued, making danger harder to recognize because it arrived wearing the face of someone already loved. By 98, the Hartmans were living in Encino, a quiet neighborhood in Los Angeles. Their home was where their children slept, where Phil recovered between performances, where family life was supposed to feel safe. Instead, it became the stage for a different kind of story, one where jealousy, substance use, and the fear of abandonment can turn love into a weapon.
See, thinking it's her. Might be right. I'm thinking she does something, or she's obsessed with him. Maybe he tries to leave.
I mean, he didn't choose to leave, but he chose to like just be like, "Hey."
Well, because I don't know if he's dead or alive. I was gonna say I only know what he's
we're
been
speculating.
In, so
yeah, Phil Hartman, if you ever listen to this by chance and you are alive, I'm sorry that we already pawned you off at the beginning as dead. Like, I've already assumed she killed you and wore your face.
That's metal.
Shows up on set. I'm Phil Hartman. Bryn, you're just wearing your husband's face.
The director? That's fucking metal.
That's fucking metal. Honestly, it fucks. On the evening of May 27th, 98, Phil and Bryn went out to dinner with a friend, producer, and writer, Christine Zander. Christine Zander, of course, known for... so they ate...
Known for what?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm like, you didn't finish. Hang on.
Because I don't know what she's known for. They ate at an Italian restaurant in Encino. There was drinking.
Love Italian restaurants.
I love a good Italian.
In Italy.
We get it. You've traveled. Oh, my God. They hate you. Oh. There was drinking. To anyone watching, it would have looked like an ordinary night out. No sirens. No screaming. No obvious indication that the night was moving towards a cliff edge. Well, that's a fucking change in tone.
Why? Why is it moving towards a cliff edge?
Yeah, what is happening? The fuck? Often the most dangerous nights look exactly like that. After dinner, Phil and Bryn returned home. At some point, an argument erupted. Police would later describe it as heated. Arguments alone are not unusual, but in volatile relationships, arguments are not just disagreements. They are warnings.
They probably just need a fuck. Like,
just bang it out?
Yeah, hard fuck. Not like, even...
Like that crazy,
yeah.
You know, middle of gunfire.
It's that kind of fucking where you're like, I could be a dad.
Damn. Damn. That's crazy. It's that type of fucking where time slows down and you start calculating child support payments in your head. You're like, okay.
You're like,
you have a real Sherlock moment.
You're like, look down, you're like, wow, you'd be a really
great
nice
single mom.
I was going to say single mom, but that's funny too. I was just going to say you'd look like a really good mom.
I'm doing this for you. You have what it takes to raise such a great child.
That's disgusting.
Eventually, Phil went to bed.
Attaboy.
That detail matters.
Yeah, honestly, good on him, because arguments don't really go anywhere. Just go to bed.
Yeah. But I
highly doubt that'll bite him in the ass.
Never once has that gone bad at all for a man. I don't like going to bed angry, though.
No, but I'm sure... just that separation is fine. I doubt he was the angry one.
You fair. I'm curious as to why the argument even happened, but who knows? We'll probably never know. But going to bed is an act of trust. It is what you do when you believe you will wake up. Jesus. It is what you do when your home still feels safe enough for sleep.
Okay, you know what? Maybe going to bed was the wrong choice.
This was not the correct
option. I spoke too soon.
Yeah. Sometime in the early hours of May 28th, 1998, Bryn entered the bedroom.
Uh-oh.
Phil was asleep, and she was armed with a 38 caliber Smith & Wesson revolver. She fired 3 shots. Phil Hartman was struck once between the eyes, once in the throat, and once in the upper chest.
God damn.
He was 49 years old and died in his bed.
It's my affirmations. I am loved by others.
Sorry. It was. I'm not making fun of it, but that was such a wholesome moment. It threw me off guard.
It was just like perfect timing, too, right? In this shithole. He died in his bed. Do-do-do-do.
You are loved. There was no chase, no struggle, no scene outside. The violence occurred in the quietest place a person can be.
Honestly, at least he died... You know,
in his sleep,
it wasn't super violent.
I mean,
to him, he died instantly.
I mean, we hope.
Now, unless she started chest, neck, head.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh no.
Depending on what the order of the first bullet was, determines how. I was gonna say fun. How easily into the night he went. Do you think? Yeah. The violence occurred in the quietest place a person can be while sleeping inside a locked home with the children down the hall. I forgot about the kids.
Oh, shit. Me too.
I forgot about the kids. After the shooting, the night did not end. It fractured.
Uh-oh. Not the kids.
Not the kids. Bryn left the house.
Thank God.
Okay. And drove to the home of a friend, Ron Douglas, in Studio City. It was early morning, sometime between 3 and 3:30. Jesus. She told him she had killed Phil. Douglas did not believe her.
Bryn, anybody it's too early for this bullshit.
Yeah, Bryn. Do you want a bump? Do you want a little scooch?
Do you just want some cocaine?
Like, what that's fine. You can just ask. We don't have to pretend. But Douglas didn't believe her. That reaction was human. Some sentences are too heavy to be true on first hearing. Confessions can sound like hysteria, intoxication, or exaggeration. Anything but reality. If somebody comes up to me, like one of my friends, who doesn't make those kind of jokes, comes up to me and is like, hey, I killed X, Y, and Z. I'm immediately believing it. Also, I know my type of friends. I'm immediately believing it.
I plead the fifth.
But Bryn insisted. Later, she and Douglas drove back toward the heart.
I mean it! I killed him!
And it's 1998, so she couldn't just like take a selfie and be like, see?
Yeah.
On the way, or shortly after arriving, Bryn made additional calls to friends.
I took a Polaroid!
And confessed. flicking it, trying to airing it out. Pieces of the night scattered outward, looking for someone willing to hold them. When Douglas entered the house, the truth was unmistakable. Phil Hartman's body was there. Imagine they get home, he's not there anymore. That's the true fucking...
There's no blood or anything.
Nothing. They're like, Bryn, Phil died 10 years ago.
Oh, what a play. What a play. Amazing. He's been dead a really long
time. Yeah, you need to let him go. Damn, imagine. What about the kids? You guys never had any. You fucking shatter her whole life.
You killed them on your first date.
Wait. She already had kids?
No, those aren't her kids.
Oh, damn. Fuck. You just picked a random set of kids.
Like, yeah, Douglas is like, kids? What do you mean?
Fuck. If I don't have kids, then who did I eat? What?
You eat?
What? Douglas calls 911.
She has a disease where she can't tell the difference
between kids and cupcakes.
Cinnamon rolls and children. She had just eaten an entire thing of cinnamon rolls, not a bus of kids.
Oh, no. It was around 6:30 in the morning when emergency services were contacted. Police arrived at the Hartman residence.
That's a while.
Well, I mean, they probably hung out for a couple
hours. Oh, yeah, because he's like, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
Then they fucked.
I told you. Douglas and the two children were escorted out of the house. That moment carries weight. The children had been asleep while their father was killed. They were removed from their home while their mother remained inside.
How'd they sleep through that if they were just down the hall?
I mean, if he's rich enough, it's a big house. And a .38 caliber behind closed doors.
You probably couldn't hear someone shitting in the shower when you're on the toilet, so...
I'm a heavy
sleeper. Ever been in those rich houses where the soundproofing is insane enough to where you're literally around the corner and you can't hear
anything? Can't hear fuck all.
Yeah.
She was inside, armed, unstable, and locked behind a bedroom door. Inside, Bryn barricaded herself. Police negotiated.
Why?
The house. What are you getting out of this? Like, you're not.
There's no hostage.
I'll fucking shoot him again. The house fell into a terrifying stillness.
They're like, okay.
Oh, no. The kind that feels like it could break at any moment. Eventually, Bryn Hartman... Oh, shit. Okay. Well, this is a sad one.
What?
Eventually, Bryn Hartman died by suicide. In a matter of hours...
Give a golf clap for the murderer. You pussied out.
Technically, she's a hero. She killed the guy that killed Phil Hartman.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
That's a good shot.
Point blank. Got him.
The sniper over the radio. We got her. Oh, you shot? No.
Yeah.
But she did.
Yeah. So I'm still taking credit for this, though, just so you guys know.
I'm not letting her go to hell. She had the gun to her head. I shot her.
Yeah, Jesus. Not a monster.
Yeah. Christ, she already committed murder. Suicide's another one.
In a matter of hours, two lives ended in the same house where the family had been built. So toxicology reports showed that Bryn had alcohol in her
that
system.
That she was obsessed.
Traces of cocaine.
Hey!
And a prescription antidepressant.
Well, cocaine and antidepressants don't go together. Pain and anything mental drugs should not go together.
That's fair. No drugs were found in Phil Hartman's blood.
Oh, thank God.
Except high traces of lead.
Oh, I was like, well, the bullets. You got me. It wasn't even on there.
These details are often cited as explanation, but substance did not create motive. They amplify what is already there. To get into an argument and then to be like, you know what? I need to win this argument. I understand. I shouldn't say I understand it. I've definitely been in positions where people, partners, have used like your weaknesses and the things that you've trusted them with against you.
Yeah.
To like win it. First of all, as a man.
Literally, the argument will be like, for instance, this is one I had with the ex. We were arguing about dishes.
Yeah.
And how they needed to be done or put away because she was insanely OCD about it. And it went from that to...
Your penis has a weird fucking...
Yeah, just like weird shit like that, like...
Yeah, it curves away from my G-spot. Okay, well, I can't control that, right?
Yeah, just weird shit.
Yeah. And as a man, if a man ever feels comfortable enough with you to metaphorically take off his armor, and if you ever use anything against him,
he won't
tell he's you never going to open up again.
Yeah,
he's never going to be that vulnerable ever again. It's a hard position to be
in. It took me... It's like 5 years now just to start being that vulnerable with Lacey.
I know. I get to see it from the outside.
Why? What do you mean?
From the outside looking in. Like from outside of your relationship, I get to see
it. I know, but how do you see it?
So when you and I first met, you were very... How do I explain this? I know because that's the same way that I was, but you were very guarded and used humor to deflect.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're like, ha, you're just fucking avoiding, like, because again, avoidant attachment.
Yeah.
You were using.
I have avoidant personality disorder.
And when you said that last night, I looked back at the last month of us, like, making plans and, like, slight conflicts. Not really conflicts, just, like discussions. And be like, man, he's really just indifferent to any of this. And it's like, oh, it's because he's just avoiding it. He doesn't want...
Yeah, I like it. It's a cool idea.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know.
Like the Seattle trip, that whole thing. Like, it was... It's interesting. But no, because that was me. That's been me for a very long time, using humor to cope and as a defense mechanism. So I recognize it in you. And I was like, I wonder when he's going to open up. Which is why I guess... That's also the same thing that I did with my buddy in high school because I was a social butterfly. People liked me.
Yeah.
But people also hated me, which is fine. I'm not here to pretend that I was everybody's friend. But him specifically, I could just never get him to get along with me. And that irked me because I'm like, I know something's wrong. I know something's bothering you. I want to be a friend to you. Let me be there for you. So I kept like bullying this man into being my friend until one day... Literally, we were on our way to Pottery. I see him get in his car, and I was like, hey, where are you going? And he's like, I'm going home. I was like, oh, cool. And then I just opened the car door and sat in the car. And I was like, where are we going? He's like, get out of the car. I want to beat the shit out of you. I was like, nope, I'm going wherever you're going. All right. And he took me to his house. I'm like, I'm probably going to die here. It's the house that's right across the street from yours, actually. He lived in that neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, every time we drive by it, I'm always like, oh, my friend used to live here. Lacey's like, shut the fuck up. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. And we hung out. His mom made us food, and we watched anime. He's like, oh, you like anime? I was like, yeah, I like anime. He's like, oh. Well, I was going to beat the shit out of you, but I guess we're friends now. And likewise with you, I was like, okay. He and I can make fun of each other. We have common ground now. Now I just need to whittle them down slowly but surely. So it's been, hey, I love you.
Joke's on you. I literally trust nobody.
As you shouldn't. I don't need you to trust me. I just want you to like me and let me in every now and again. Maybe. I'll earn it. Doesn't realize that water's been spiked with LSD. We're going to have a grand time.
That'd be wild.
Oh, in Umbrella Academy, when they spike her shit with LSD.
Dude, I love Umbrella Academy.
I hate the ending.
Yeah, it wasn't. It felt really rushed.
I get it. I get why they did what they did.
Well, that's how it ends.
Yeah.
Like the comics.
Yeah.
But they should have had another season or a few more episodes in the last season.
Because the last season was 6 versus 10. All the other ones were 10.
I know.
So it felt cut short.
Shit.
But it was such a good show, dude. Yeah.
Well, even the last season, for how poorly done it was, it had its moments where I did very much enjoy it.
100%.
Yeah. Because, like, I think it's season 3 when Klaus runs off with their dad and he just keeps getting killed.
No, that's 2. Over.
Okay. And then season 3 is when he, like, actually he dies. His dad kills him.
No, that's still 2.
And, like, when they're running. No, because they're in Hotel Oblivion when this happens.
That's 2.
No. Hotel Oblivion.
Oh, no, the beginning of 3. You're right. I'm so sorry.
Umbrella Academy like 9 times.
You're right. You're so right. Okay. Season 2 is JFK.
So Hotel Oblivion.
Yeah.
When they're going through that door and he turns around and he stabs Klaus.
And he pushes him back.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Watching it, you're like, oh, that bastard betrayed him. But then you're like, did he though?
Yeah.
He knew Klaus would come back. He knew he would. But it was really funny because when Luther died and then they're hanging out in the afterlife together.
Yeah.
And he's like, so this is it, huh? And he's like, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Pineapple pizza, watching TV.
Yep. They're just kicking it back. He's like, this is my world, Luther. They're like going through the different... His different
little pockets.
Worlds.
Yeah.
Where it's like the trampoline world. He's like, you literally have a world that's just bouncy houses. He's like, mind your own business.
Yeah. My favorite was seeing Luther as a normal person. And when I first saw that, I was like, God, he looks weird. He looks so disproportionate now.
He looks like the nerdy guy. Like, even in Game of Thrones, when you see him in Game of Thrones.
I'm sorry, he's in Game of Thrones?
Yes, very briefly.
Oh, okay.
Very briefly. But anytime you see him and he's not big like that, he looks like that insanely nerdy fucking dude in high school.
Yeah, he looks super
And then
scrawny.
You see him at the 10-year reunion and he's like ripped.
Right.
But he's still like just as slim.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, okay, you got jacked, bitch.
Like, you got muscles, but you have also 5% body fat on you. Like, what is happening here? I hated fucking, what's her face? Victor. He pissed me the fuck off. I was like, brother. First of all, you're right. Very tasteful how they did the transition and how they corrected that. But I was also very upset with him as a character because I'm like, you keep fucking up by trying to be the good person. You keep, like, I get what you're doing. But so far, every time you've tried to do the right thing, it ends up fucking everything else up.
Yeah. And then at the end, they figure out, it's like, oh, we just need to wipe ourselves from existence.
Yeah, we're the problem.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then it literally goes to a timeline where they don't exist and
everybody's happy.
Fine.
Yeah. And they, spoiler alert, although by now you should know. I also didn't like the fact that they just glossed over the fucking Sloan, Luther's wife in the third season.
I don't think that's any big deal.
I think it's a big deal.
Nah.
He was happy. He was happy.
In the first like 2 or 3 episodes, they really hit on that. Cause
not really.
In Hotel Oblivion's when they get married. You're talking about season 4. No, season 4.
Is there 4 seasons?
Yes, because that's the last one.
I thought there were only 3 seasons.
No, there's 3 full ones, and then the 4th one is 6.
You're
episodes.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry. Listen. Everything blended together. I binged them back to back, brother.
I know.
Okay.
So.
I'm sorry. I'm not perfect.
Yeah. When they're all normal and Klaus is all like bundled up. He's like, the world is evil. And he's like. He's like
hand sanitizer and everything.
He's like, death is permanent.
I was. During that season when he got locked in the casket. I was like, if this is the end, if this is how they fucking do him dirty, I'm going to be so pissed off. And then he tries to kill Bill himself out by punching through the door. Yeah. No, it's a great show. I want to find people that have watched Umbrella Academy and appreciate it as much. And I want to run a D&D campaign based on Umbrella Academy.
Dude, that'd be cool. There's a lot of D&D campaigns that are off of, like, based off the Stranger Things universe right now.
Too. Oh, well, Stranger Things has their own TTRPG.
Yeah, which is awesome.
They've got their own rule book, which we can always find and play at some point. But the Umbrella Academy one is fun because it's like, oh, I just have to find some historical moment in time, fuck with it, and have people try to correct it somehow.
Yep.
And so
I love in season two with JFK because number two is like trying to fucking save JFK. Everyone's like, why? What are you doing?
Yeah. It's your hero complex.
Yeah.
Number five, I love how the show had a main character but didn't, because number five was kind of the main character
pretty much
the whole way through. But
he is the reason it all started.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to time travel. That is the reason all of everything started.
Him and Dolores.
Yeah, because if he doesn't time travel, then the dad doesn't die to bring him back together. That guy doesn't find the book. And it just...
Yeah.
The white violin never finds out she has powers. You just go from there. This is just moonshine. I'm over here like,
imagine... But when Vanya finds out that she has powers and she's walking in that in the suit, she looks so dope. I was like, okay, I get it. And then Victor is just a fuckboy.
Yeah, it's all white.
Yeah.
It's like reverberating.
Reverberate.
Or in season two at the beginning when they're like, number five, what took you so long? They're like fighting the Russians in Austin, Texas. And then
in that alternate timeline? Yeah.
And then what's his face?
Diego?
No, the assassin from the first season that married the donut lady.
Oh, yeah.
He, like, shows up on the bench, and he's like, oh, we lived a good life together.
And he gets ganked by the three fucking albinos.
The Swedish brothers.
Swedish guys.
I love when number five goes and kills the entire...
The boardroom,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's so fucking awesome.
Just there's not a moment in that show where I'm like... This was boring. I like they could have taken this out. And the music,
it was so good too.
Artistically done, everything was good.
All right, we should get back to this.
Yeah, my bad, Ty.
I was gonna say, is your food here?
It just showed up. Actually, I'm gonna go grab it so I can get you. Right. So, alcohol and cocaine.
Oh shit.
Can fuel paranoia and rage. They can collapse judgment, but they do not pull a trigger on their own. The motive in this case is often described...
Guns don't kill people?
...as domestic discord.
People kill people?
Jealousy, addiction, fear of abandonment. Friends later spoke of concern, of attempts to help, of worry that the volatility was becoming more severe. Domestic violence carries a particular horror because the setting is familiar. It's not a dark alley. It's a bedroom.
Familiar horror?
A kitchen. A hallway nightlight. The place you expect safest to be becomes the place you are exposed the most. I had a buy one, get one on spicy chicken sandwiches, so...
Oh, shit. I'll take one.
Yeah, that's why I bought it.
Frodo.
Phil Hartman's death sent shockwaves through the entertainment world. Colleagues spoke not just of his talent, but of his generosity. He was known as someone who showed up prepared, who respected the craft, and who did not bring chaos into the room. People wanted a reason that made sense. One argument, one betrayal, one moment that explained everything. But if I can't have you, no one can, rarely begins as a sentence spoken out loud. It begins quietly, with the belief that a partner is possession, that separation is humiliation, that being left is annihilation. This mindset often hides behind romance. It sounds like, I can't live without you. It feels intense, it feels passionate, but inside is a threat. Because it places another person's life inside of a cage. Control often arrives in small ways first. Jealous questions, monitoring, accusations, demands for reassurance. When addiction is present, those patterns sharpen. Apologies become routine, tension becomes normal, and people adapt, convincing themselves that they can manage it with enough patience. Phil Hartman went to bed after an argument. Whether he believed it was over or hoped sleep would reset the night, the result is the same. He assumed morning would come, and three shots ended that assumption. This is why this story belongs under the letter O. Obsession. Ownership. The refusal to let go. If I can't have you, no one can is not passion, it is possession. Phil Hartman's life ended in his sleep. Bryn Hartman's life ended hours later, and two children woke up in a world where love had turned into annihilation. There's no satisfying lesson here, only a warning. Love is not supposed to be a cage, and when it becomes one, the bars rarely hold just one person. Sometimes they trap everyone, and sometimes they never open at all.
Goddamn. That was a good ending.
It was a good one. It was solid. Yeah, it's interesting how there's a lot of, especially in Hollywood, a lot of like murder suicides and a lot of like that kind of stuff.
A lot of crazy people.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't even call them crazy. It's because for her, she wasn't crazy. It was, I mean, it was drug fueled and she had a lot of stuff going on. Sure, substance abuse definitely played a part into it. But I got to, I guess it's hard to put yourself in the shoes of someone like that because it's like I could never take a weapon to a loved one.
Yeah. Me neither.
Yeah, that's crazy. Hey, cut the
me neither.
Cut the mic. We need to talk.
Under certain circumstances.
But not over an argument. I don't like the look you gave me.
I wouldn't disagree with me. Just kidding.
Yeah. It's crazy how nobody ever disagrees with me in my household.
I've just brandished this baddie. Well, it's really shitty for the kids. That's really sad. I'm not a fan of that, but
wonder what happened with him.
What happened to Phil Hartman's kids? Here's his son pursued a career in arts, including music and the visual arts, similar to his dad's early career. He generally maintains a low profile. Bergen.
The daughter followed under mom's
born
footsteps.
In 1992.
Of becoming an actress. Oh, okay. And a model. Oh, okay.
She is a
and also killing her husband.
A consent educator who has spoken before the Minnesota House of Representatives and works to educate children on safety, according to People.com. She is married and hasn't openly discussed her past struggles with addiction. So, yes, she did follow her mom.
Damn. You're here to hear first, folks. Kill your spouse before you become addicted. That way nobody knows. Nobody questions why you did it.
And then kill yourself after so you don't have to take responsibility.
No accountability for your actions.
All right, well.
Frodo.
I think that's it for this one. Thanks, yeah. Guys. Sorry about the little holdup.
Yeah. Scheduling can sometimes get a little bit rough with us, but we're making it happen. Thanks for putting up with us. Hope you enjoy this one.
Yep. Stay spooky, guys.
Stay spooky. And if there's any specific stories you want us to hear, leave us a comment. Leave us a like. If you like what we're doing, or if you hate what we're doing, let us know.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't care.
Yeah. Hey, whether you love me or whether you hate me, you're still tuned in to listen to me.
And, yeah, obviously got this far if you're mad about it.
Yeah. You want to sign us off?
I already did.
You say stay spooky?
Yep.
Oh, go
then
fuck
you
yourselves.
Did right after me. And then continued talking.
My bad. Go fuck yourselves, guys.